Are there Mormons in Hollywood? Oh. Donnie and Marie.
Yeah, Donnie and Marie are the big ones. Actually, let me Google it. Mormons in.
Yeah, because are we only letting them in via reality TV?
Amy Adams, but she's last. Julianne and Derek Ho, those are famous Mormons. Hugh, they got
Yeah, I think they've both left.
Yeah.
Because she's gay.
They were excommunicated, I think. Mm. Katie Heigl.
She's like living in the middle of Utah. Because Katherine Heigl was like, I live in the middle of Utah. So like sometimes my husband has to drive 6 hours to go get sushi. And then I'm like, why would you have him drive 6 hours to bring you back raw fish?
Yeah, that's you're definitely getting food poisoning.
I don't know, but he's like a hunter-gatherer type.
Oh, so he goes and he hunts down sushi and then he gathers it.
I think he has to like drive to a different state. Like, he has to drive to Nevada.
I hope she still smokes cigarettes. I love any.
Oh my God. I loved how much. Like, there was something so special about what paparazzi photos used to be. And it used to be all of our favorite girlies smoking cigarettes. I think about Katherine Heigl smoking cigarettes on her wedding day in the snow all the time.
I love it. Or Uma. Uma was always ripping them.
Nothing hits like the Olsen twins.
The Olsen twins. Pink
cigarettes.
Yeah.
And they're like, they look like the bag ladies with like the, and they had the really big Starbucks cups and like the Marlboros. And it was like,
so good.
Just Ben Affleck smoking a cigarette doesn't do it for me the same way.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. Lindsay Lohan smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Lilo. You know, she's got to smoke.
I don't know if she does. I mean, I think she's sober because
she's
lives
Muslim.
In Dubai. Yeah.
Yeah. She was openly bi. I felt people forget she was a bi icon. One of the first openly bi.
She was.
People. Celebrities.
Yeah. We'll get into her later, but we will get into her husband's necklaces. And I can't wait. His statement.
I was talking about Lindsay Lohan. Was one of the first openly.
I was talking about Bronwyn's husband.
Oh yeah, Bronwyn's husband. Yeah, that's all dark. A dark passage to come.
My dark passenger, Dexter.
Yeah, he was also a sociopath. Like, okay.
Speaking
of sociopaths, let's get into the new episodes of Orange County from season 18. We're gonna quickly cover the episodes from the past 2 weeks since I've been out of town and now we're reconvening. So special shout outs to Charlotte Bannigan White and Julie Capilli, our YouTube watchers. Thank you for watching.
Yay!
Episode 10, Catwalks and Catfights. So it feels like we've reached a point in the series where like both producers and like the housewives are like, okay, we've got to cool it on this like Shannon stuff or she might blow her brains out. You know, like,
yeah, because like it's never been a good season for Shannon. Like, this is actually the best season for Shannon, and it's really bad,
yeah,
emotionally.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, she's just, you know, she's been through the ringer for our pleasure, you know. And I think that, you know, wives, everyone's like, okay, you know, let's
be nice
down, Alexis. Also, Alexis, you're going to blow. Ever having a spot on the cast again if you keep being such a witch, like you're gonna alienate everyone. Yeah. And she's like, okay, you know, she's kind of
fine, I'll talk about my trans kid.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that. Which again, cool.
She's
come a long way.
She has. Yeah. She really has. Cause we've been recapping the old seasons and like one of the seasons we just recapped, she talked about like she would never even want a woman president. So it's like she's really come a long way with like accepting her son, her trans son. And I wish that we could see this more from Alexis.
Yeah.
Like, I like the muck and the dirt, but it is nice to kind of see how she's evolved in some ways and completely devolved.
Yeah, like I'd like to. I'm kind of her just talking about it is boring to me, and I understand her wanting to keep her kids off camera. I want her like officiating a gay wedding, like she does.
Yeah,
now. Like that would be cool.
Yeah,
she's friend of, so I don't know if she'll get any of those solo scenes. I think that's why we're getting it all in confessional. But we're proud. It's nice to see a softer side of Sears.
Mm-hmm.
So then Heather has they get back from their retreats their retreat to move forward. And Heather has a fashion show for her line of like TJ Maxx business casual receptionist outfits. And it's like a collaboration with
SB, not SB. Shannon Bedore.
No, different SB. It's like Susan
B. Komen.
Susan B. Komen. Right. No.
Susan B. Komen.
Susan Bender. So they, yeah, have just like, I actually would buy like almost everything from this line. I've got to say. As long as it was like TJ Maxx prices. Like,
your mom would buy it.
Yeah, it's all like most of my like office clothes are my mom's hand-me-down office clothes.
No, I'm saying that she would buy it for you. She'd be like, yes, "Lauren, you need a wardrobe. Work.
She like a nice like you know black plain dress with a belt slack. Built in, a nice slack." So it's cute. I always love like a fashion show on the Housewives. Okay. There's just a lot of boring parenting stuff this episode. Like
it's
Tamara
boring,
and
they're in Napa. And...
yeah, they've got kids that are
Katie.
Both abandoned by their dads or something. But then like Tamara's kid wasn't, which is confusing. And then Jen meet on camera to talk about how great their moms are.
We're really good friends. But then they're like, we've never met.
Yeah. And then Jen talks to her, like, rebellious adolescent son who's like...
Oh, yeah. That was the thing. He wants to move back in with his dad.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to... Yeah. Ryan's too tough. Like, Ryan and Jen, their parenting style is too strict. And I'm like, when?
So then...
Yada, yada, yada. Just
yada,
like,
yada, yada. Alexis and Heather go to the GLAAD Awards.
Cool. Okay, this was good. Okay, we need to talk about the GLAAD Awards because I liked how, like, Terry was talking to Heather and they couldn't show on camera all of the celebrities that were there. And Terry was, like, making sure to get on camera, like, casually talking to Heather about, like, all the famous people he just saw. He's like, Tom Hanks! Can you believe we're sitting right next to these people?
Terry
was like,
again.
Oh, we're just doing this for our children.
Yeah, Terry once again taking the bullet for the paparazzi calling rumor where Heather's like, mm-hmm. I'm not the one into any of it. It's Terry. He's the star fucker.
But I do like that Terry's like, I love this. Very open about very much liking the fame and the TV and all of the things.
He knows exactly who he is. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
he doesn't pretend.
Star fucker nerd. Yeah.
Yeah.
No pretense there, although they are pretentious. And then, and then we've got Shannon and Vicky heading to St. Louis for their...
They're doing improvs on Wednesday nights across the country. And it's like they're, you know, there was like the one thing they showed was like she gets like a shot of tequila on stage or something.
Yeah, next. It's like... If anything, it's like making the where I'm like, okay, I guess I see.
I'm
where
swiping left
from
on that scene
a little more. If the show is just Shannon taking shots on stage, then I could see why she's like, this is maybe not a good look for me to be in part of it.
We just need to get to the one good part of the last episode,
okay?
Which is like
the best
thing that's in.
So at Heather's after party for her fashion show, Emily confronts Heather about how she felt at the fashion show because Heather made Emily bring a pair of jeans to change into for the end because I guess like she didn't have them in her size.
Yeah. And okay. She was like, no, you know, Heather was trying to explain. It was like never her intention to make her, you know, she was like, no one else had to bring jeans and blah, blah, blah. And everyone
and
else
like, well,
had
that's
clothes.
Everyone wore different pieces.
But
like,
then I didn't like in Heather's confessional at all that she said, look, and like, you know, Emily was saying that it was too big, but actually I think the dress she wore was a little tight.
That
it
was like ugly.
The grossest thing. Yeah. And that they didn't cut it. I hated it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I do like Heather Dubrow fucking up sometimes. And
that
like
was a big fuck up. I hated it.
That was a big fuck up. And it's like, she is like fucking weird about food in her body.
Food.
Like she's fucking weird about it.
Yeah.
Much like Rena.
Me?
We spoke before. Oh, yeah. And us. But like, you know, they'd always leave that shit in with Rena too, where it's like, you know, so I'm always glad to see it because I'm always glad to see like any kind of dysfunctional.
The mask slip.
Yeah. And also anything pointed out as like a dysfunctional relationship with food or bodies. Like, well, as someone who used to have an eating disorder, I love that kind of content. And then I felt so much for Emily. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
Oh, I've been like in dance class as a kid where I've been the biggest
person. Yeah. I've been the biggest person and nothing fit. God, but she's like lost so much weight and she's always talked about, I didn't like any of it. I hate body talk like that.
I did. I like specifically, I in dance class, like, was the only one of two girls where we had to be the adult size because we were too big for like the kid size and we had to try it on in front of everyone too. And I'm
like, oh my God,
I'm like, I can see why she, I mean, is emotional and upset about it. Like, it's not just her being like hyper-focused on her body and being enough. It's like, it's like kind of humiliating, you know?
It's humiliating and she's just lost so much weight and has been really open about that journey and like how proud she was and how confident she's been since she's lost that weight, which I never even thought she needed to. She's always looked amazing to me. Honestly, she's like gorgeous.
Yeah. And then Alexis also wore the same dress. Which
oh my
is
God,
up with Heather too, where it was like they were wearing the same dress. They're the same height, and like Alexis's is a size 2, and Emily's is a size
not
10.
Yeah,
I mean it's just, I mean it's like if the woman is making them, then like why even sew in the fucking labels? Like why have them both wear the same dress? It's just all Heather's like, it's not my fault. I'm not the one who sticks the clothes. She's so defensive. And I'm like, girl, I'm
you,
like,
this is like a little,
yeah.
It's a little like you've been doing this a little too long for this to just to seem like a coincidence. But yeah, so like to him, Emily's point, she was like, yeah, I felt uncomfortable. And then I have to see like Alexis in a size 2 wearing the same dress and like just see it in my face. And that made me feel bad. And I was like, yeah, I completely know that feeling where it's like, this doesn't look the same on me as it does on this person. And it looks better on this person in her head. And then Alexis makes it all about her.
Yes. And like, you know, like from the beginning, like she,
and you're
like,
bringing me and you're wrapping me into this. And it's like,
yeah, everyone's like, what the, in typical Alexis fashion, she was like people are explaining, they're like, she's saying like that Alexis looked great in the dress, but for some reason, Alexis heard like, Alexis looked like shit in the dress. Somehow, like somehow that's what went through her head. And so she's
and she's like, you're bringing me into this?
Yeah, why, you think I look
you're
bad?
Trying
why
to
are
be
you bringing
mean
me
to
this?
Me because I'm skinny?
Yeah.
Because I'm a size 2? And that makes you like that. What does me being a size 2 have to be with like, what's that have to do with anything? Emily and Emily's like, it doesn't have anything to do with you, dumbass.
And she like spirals. She has to go to the backyard. And Heather, like she like that. What really pisses me off is that Emily just wants to be heard. And Heather at the beginning, she's like, well, I'm sorry about that. But and then Emily's
she's
like, well, I'm trying to tell you how I feel. And Heather's like, why do you keep coming at me? Why do you? It's like, girl, she is not coming at you. This isn't an attack. This isn't anything planned. Like, this is, like, I mean, probably.
A real emotion.
But it's a real thing that she's bringing to the camera. And, like, you are not so above reproach that no one can bring up any negative feelings they have around you on camera. But luckily, Alexis really swoops in and takes the bullet for Heather on this one. She's outside having a panic attack. She's like, I'm a broken bird. I'm at my lowest point. She's even like copying Shannon's lines. It's a broken bird.
You will all see the truth.
And apparently we find out that Alexis had just broken up with her fiance of 3 years and her mom had died right before she started dating John.
My God.
I mean, again, another strike for this guy in the finding vulnerable women category because he swooped in right after Shannon's divorce.
God, he sucks. But yeah, but Emily telling Alexis like, this isn't about you, you fucking idiot. You're just a friend.
Yes, you're a friend.
Mind you go fuck John Jansen some more, dumbass. Yes.
It's so good.
Oh, my God. And I love that they kept that on camera. Like, you're just a friend of.
I know. I'm so glad that they are leaving in this meta stuff now. I'm like, how many, like, meta details like that did they leave on the cutting room floor? Because they thought that, like, leaning into the reality plays better and not addressing the show. No. We want to see Emily be like, you're a friend.
Like, yeah, feeling
fuck
superior.
Off.
Yeah, you're just a friend.
I love it.
Go fuck John Jansen some more. You're just a friend.
So good. But I do think that next season, Alexis will not be a friend after this scene. She can be just as irrational with everyone. She made a lifetime friend of Heather Dubrow in these past two episodes. Heather said on Watch What Happens Live, she's the most loyal to Emily of any of them. I mean, not to Emily, she's the most loyal to Alexis of any of them. Yeah.
But then Alexis put on her Instagram like this week about how mad she is at the editing and how mad she is at Bravo because of like, you know, that she there's other things that she talked about, not just like fucking John Jansen all of the time, but that's all they kept. It's like, what are you doing? And then she had that really weird, she was on Watch What Happens Live with John Jansen and it was very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
she kept looking at him for like, gross. Can I say this stuff? Like, it's weird. Like, he's like giving like Jonestown. He's so creepy. Yeah, he's giving me Jim Jones. He's just like a cult leader.
Like, pull yeah, on these women. It's weird. I just hope
he's so awful looking.
Yeah. I don't think he's that awful.
Okay. Well, I put that picture on our Instagram that he looked like Butthead. From Beavis and Butthead.
He does look like a little bit Lizard Man and a little bit Butthead. But
and a little bit not, like Herman Munster.
Yeah, I see all of it. But like, he's no like Jambolino. I mean, he's a step up for Alexis.
I don't know. Okay, so I was looking at her with her ex-fiance. He was like younger. He was like super hot. I don't know what happened. Yeah. Wow, Bethany, wow.
Wow, Bethany, wow. Well, I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for Tamara. I'm hoping these girls can pull it out.
You want them to have oranges.
Yeah. Hell of a season so far. Last two episodes, C. 75.
Yeah, I didn't love them. But I did. Okay. Episode C, Emily, I think it was this one of her best episodes ever, actually.
I agree.
Because she was so vulnerable and it was so raw and real. But then also she was really funny by like telling Alexis, like, look, bitch, like, I'm main cast.
Yes. And like, you're not. I didn't even invite you into this fight. Like, you're like,
no, I was just, yeah, like, you have nothing to do with like the way that I feel about myself.
Yeah, but
you're just walking around in a dress.
What is great about Alexis and why I want her back? Well, first of all, that she was wearing that crazy orange and white stripe dress, and she was really tall and her hair is all like wild and like curly like a mane, but like pulled back, and Emily's like, all I can see is just like this giraffe. Like, coming at me.
Yeah.
That was so good. And then also that like Alexis wasn't trying to get into the middle of it to earn her orange. She literally, her Alexis brain.
She's just her brain. Her Alexis like, brain, where she's like, if someone's talking, saying my name, they're probably being mean.
Yeah. And
which
just
is valid,
it.
But valid.
But this genuinely had nothing.
Nothing to do
at
with
all
it.
To do with
yeah.
Her.
Yeah, it could have been anybody. It was just like a thinner person.
Yeah, you know how I love my Daffy broads. I love, you know, I know that the fandom's really divided
Daffy
on
Duck.
Daffy dupes, like Daffy doofy, goofus, like
goofus.
Can't follow along with what's happening, girlies on the Housewives, but I just
Alexis
I love
has tried.
Them. Let's get into the lesson. Please open your textbooks to where we left off in the year 2012. And this is the second half of Real Housewives of Orange County, season 7, episodes 12 through 23. So if you didn't listen to part one, quick catch up. So Tamara and Gretchen have made an unholy alliance to piss off Vicky. Tamara and Eddie are getting super serious about their relationship. Brooks and Vicky have been getting seriously disturbing to the people who love her because he owes a ton of child support and has no job and speaks in love riddles. Heather Dubrow is the new girl in town who is richer than everyone else, and she has tension with Alexis back then. But how we've come full circle in the new season, we're their besties. But right now, Alexis is still at the bottom rung of the Housewives, and she's an aspiring Fox affiliate cable access news host. But according to Jim, she needs to focus on the twins and being a mom. Mm. And we last saw our intrepid heroines watching Gretchen attempt to sing Fever with the Pussycat Dolls at Planet Hollywood. And everyone telling her, seems like you were really having fun up there afterwards. Which Michelle and I know is code for.
That was awful.
That was not good.
I can't believe he did that. I would have never done that. Wow.
Yeah.
You're confident.
The guy before you was really good.
Where's he at? I liked when the guys did it.
Luckily,
I like it's when guys do comedy.
Yes. Yeah, we get a lot of that too. Luckily, it's her birthday though. So like everyone has to be nice to her because it's like her, like that's a good trick performing
nice to
on
her
birthday. Yeah. So it's like great and happy birthday.
What a horrible birthday.
To bomb your ass off and then be stuck with everyone shooting.
Yeah. In a like a leotard.
God, a nightmare.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Okay, I have a new segment, and it's called Chief Beefs. These are the main fights of part two of season 7 of Real Housewives of Orange
Chief
County.
Chief Beefs.
Do you want to give the beefs?
Oh, Vicky, Tamara, Alexis versus everyone, and Vicky's brain versus Vicky's vagina. Do we need to go through all of them? Did I fuck it all up?
No, you did it perfectly. Who will reign supreme? We'll find out in the remainder of the episode.
Who will be Chief Beef?
Go ahead and put your money down, folks. Okay, so we're picking up the lesson after the Pussycat Dolls performance after party. At the after party, Sarah, who, if you recall, is Gretchen's always extremely drunk friend, is there and apologizes to Vicky for starting a weird confrontation with her. And Vicky accepts.
At a bowling alley.
Vicky accepts uncomfortably and immediately leaves because she's like, deal with her. But Michelle, this is the surprise that I said I had for you. So Sarah's last name is Winchester. Mm-hmm. She is the Sarah Winchester, the granddaughter of Sarah Winchester, the heir to this giant rifle fortune. Like the show Supernatural is about like the, you know, fictitious heirs of the Winchester like dynasty.
Oh my
fortune.
God.
This is really her. Like she has more money than Heather Dubrow will ever have. Like,
so why did she have that really old husband? Was that her husband? Is he the Winchester?
No, she was born into Winchesterdom.
So why is she
like,
marrying old men for money?
Well, okay, so here's what happened. So she was supposed to be on the show this season.
Oh.
And then she was engaged to this guy who had really pushed her to try out for it. Mm-hmm. And then she was starting to be like, I think he only got engaged to me because he wants to be on the Housewives. Like he's a slave type, right? Like all of the men on OC. But she actually caught on to it and was like, okay, like they were fighting about it a lot. And she's like, I just want to be friend of because I don't want them to see us fighting all the time. And they actually too. And that's part of why I think she's in a blackout the whole time is like she's going through this breakup of this guy who was using her to like get on the Housewives. And also she has a 13-year-old son. Isn't this all crazy information?
Yeah, because she doesn't even have eyebrows.
No, no eyebrow, not an eyebrow in sight. But
all that money, no eyebrows.
It's wild, dude. I mean, I don't know if like they're like some, like the Hiltons or something where they like don't let their kids have any of the money. But like, I think she's would be super rich. Like,
yeah, I mean, you think that, I mean, like no spoilers, but like you think she wouldn't be eating pieces of cake before it's been cut.
But then again, I think maybe that's why she thought she could get away with a lot of this behavior. Like going
because
up
she's
to
a Winchester.
Gunvalson. Yeah. And being like, hey, I've got something to say to you. She probably like
but
thought that
plate
Vicky
of
would
nachos.
Like, Vicky would be like, oh, my God, it's Sarah Winchester. But like, this is Vicky's show. Like, we don't give a fuck if you are, you know, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Getting a fighter GTFO.
Yeah, it's like, luckily, who is Sarah Winchester in this world?
Who is Sarah Winchester in this world? I wouldn't be surprised if we never heard from Sarah Winchester again.
And we never do.
Until the end of the season. But then never again. Okay. So, and also the show, it's just so crazy because I always thought she was just a random like friend of Gretchen's.
Yeah.
The show doesn't really treat her as a friend of.
No,
but
they're
she
like.
She was a friend
memorable.
Of.
Memorable. Yeah, yeah, no, but even Gretchen's like, she's my best friend. And then the next episode, she's like, I don't even know her.
I don't know her. Yeah. And same with Alexis, like at the beginning of the party, she's like, we're friends. And then she's like, I don't you are
yeah, they're all giving the Mariah Carey, like, yeah, the
her.
Mariah Carey gift. Yeah. I don't know her.
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Great gal, great rifles, beautiful rifles, but I don't know her.
Don't shoot me.
Okay, Vicky, Tamara, Eddie, and Brooks, after Gretchen's show, they gamble a little at the Cosmopolitan Casino, and I crunched some numbers lazily, and timeline-wise, it is possible that upstairs in that very casino, Jax could have been impregnating the porn star before Vanderpump. Season 1.
Cute.
I know, romantic.
Crossover.
Yep. So we go back to the Orange County. Vicky finds out Brianna and Ryan, a guy we barely knew she was dating, have gotten married in Vegas drive-through chapel. And is scandalized, devastated, so upset.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to her in her entire life.
Which does kind of like makes, I mean, like we saw the, one of the first things we saw from Vicky was her throwing this huge graduation party for Brianna. Like she's all about throwing parties for Brianna and to not
but
be able
Brianna's
to be the mother
not into
of the bride.
It. Yeah, she's not into it. And she, I see Brianna's side here. It's like she had just had this horrible cancer scare. She just had this, you know, got out of surgery and found out she was cancer free. Ryan just got back from combat and he was alive and not injured, and so
and she's young, like she's worked
she's
so hard
young
graduating,
and so they
graduated a 7-year program in 3.5 years at her nursing school and is already working, like she, you know, deserves to be
I get it and she and her mom is very meddling and controlling and so she's like, I'm just gonna do this thing for me. Doesn't go over well, and Vicky's very pissed. And I understand it as a mom. I think because she didn't know Ryan very well. Like, I don't even think that she really knew that they were seriously dating. Brianna has intentionally always kept Vicky sort of away from any information about her dating. But
right. I mean, Vicky thought she was a virgin until now, which maybe. Yeah. But,
I know.
Not.
And the way that Vicky is like, I do like how she's upset about it because it's very funny and it's very Vicky. She's like, you just take my daughter to a drive-thru.
Yeah, a drive-thru.
Do you care to drive-thru before it closes?
I actually didn't even know that there was such a thing as a drive-thru wedding chapel until I watched this season.
Is that, like, are you going to do that now? Don't do that.
We do love a drive-thru. That's where we get most of our food. So we'll see. No, if they have one in Dallas, we're not going to rent a car in Vegas. Come on. Everything's on the strip. Okay, so Vicky and Tamara host a wine party
to
celebrate Brianna's marriage. And
it's my favorite thing.
It's so good. And Vicky actually has a second agenda for this party, which is to try to force Michael and Brianna and Ryan to approve of Brooks.
No, she has two agendas. One is to announce Brianna's wedding, marriage, in the most insane way, and then also trick her kids into meeting Brooks.
Yes, yeah, it's and dual agendas. Him. Yeah. Brooks has a quick and drunk introduction to Michael, and then afterwards is telling Tamara and Vicky about it, and he goes, like, I understand why it's hard for him, but, like, I love him.
I love
like,
him.
I love and my son.
You,
and love your I son.
I love Tamara. It's like, he's like, Oprah, like, you get a love for your son, and you get a
love for your son in the back.
Yeah. Michael, like, says, like, 2 minutes into talking to Brooks, I don't want to talk about this anymore because Brooks brings up Brianna getting married. And this is also like a sore subject for Michael. I think he was also upset that he wasn't, you know, made aware of any of that stuff.
And he doesn't like to do the on-camera stuff. Like he especially
Michael's
doesn't
never
want to talk
been
to
okay
about
with
on camera.
Michael's never been like, I love the camera. And he's like, I'm not going to do this here. And Brooks is like, okay, yeah, I understand. And then, he's like, he has like a 1 minute conversation with Michael, like Vicky's son, and has like a 1 minute conversation with Ryan, Tamara's son. He's the bad son. Ryan's the bad son of Tamara's. Mm-hmm. And then he's telling Tamara and Vicky how much he loves and like what great men they've raised. Okay, that's okay to say. But then to say like, I love your children.
And Tamara keeps going.
And they hate him.
And Tamara keeps going, but how did the conversation go? And Brooks is like, well, I love them.
I love them. You know, they remind me of myself, which is they don't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
They don't like me.
Yeah. I hate me too. And Tamara's like, so like she's like still like trying to get to the
but
bottom
like,
of the
specifically like, what did they say about? and then it's like he's the Riddler comes out and he like memorized whatever Hallmark card he read that day and he comes out and he says his little riddles and then Vicky's like, this is a perfect time to announce Brianna's marriage. And then she gives the most bananas monologue you can ever. She gets up there, like on these stairs, to announce Brianna to all of her friends that Brianna has gotten married. But the way that her monologue starts, it's like as if Brianna is dead or something horrifying has happened to Brianna. And then she's like, something has happened that has changed all of our lives. Like our lives, like our lives, nobody's life in this room will ever be the same. It's changed for, I want to tell everybody that I'm so happy to announce that my daughter married in a drive-thru without telling me or anybody in her family to Ryan, who I had never met. And then Brianna, you know, everyone's like, congratulations.
We clap.
Like, it's so insane, like, the way this happens, because then Vicky's like, and Brianna, I have a surprise for you too at my work event, which is your Uncle Billy is here.
He's here.
So I'm staring. And Michael and Brianna are like, our uncle's here? What? And Brooks is here waiting in a separate room? Like, what is going on? And then Darren's like, this is like an event for our business. And this is why Vicky will always be famous. She will always be important to me.
It's so good to have, like, to have Uncle Billy enter, like, Kramer style. He's like a debutante.
And then Brianna's like, Uncle Billy! He's like, and he's shaking Ryan. All this is, like, everyone's just still standing around. Like, can we go talk and go eat? Yeah, and then, like, you know, Billy's, like, shaking Ryan's hand, like, welcome to the family. Ryan's new wives.
One of the great party monologues of the second half.
All of our lives have changed.
So let's get to the second monologue, which is Alexis's. So like we said, she's been having some drama with Jim, according to Jim. It's a little hard that she's the breadwinner now and he's the stay-at-home dad. He finally has to change a diaper. It's kind of good to see him come a little bit full circle. Mm-hmm. And not be such a deadbeat dad. And according to Jim, Alexis also needs to focus on Alexis Couture and her super serious fashion career instead of her less serious hosting career. But she doesn't care. She still gets a hosting coach. She treats the whole gig super seriously. And speaking of hosting, she also hosts an over-the-top puppy and princess birthday party for her twins.
Yeah.
So they bring all these puppies in. A puppy immediately pees on the floor and she makes the staff clean it. She's like, you over there, here, clean. Her hair, her extensions look wild. Like, I've never seen them so wild before. Like Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
And then all the Disney princesses come and then like which are actors who like come in like the wigs and the costumes.
Yeah.
And all these 4-year-olds come and then once they're all seated down, Alexis is like, oh, this light went off. Okay. Alexis is like,
my ring light just went off.
Yes. Okay. Damn, it died. She's like, okay, it's time for me to make a toast.
Oh my God.
So 4 years is 4 years ago today, I almost bled out in the ER.
Oh.
I almost didn't make it. The doctor thought I was going to die. They said, there's no way. And the 20 toddlers are just like blinking at her.
She's like, yeah. She's like, they're pumping me full of morphine and nobody can figure out
what's
going
on.
I thought I was dying. And I'm saying this now because we haven't really had a birthday party for the twins because it's not until you're 4 years old that you can really start making memories.
I mean, so yeah, this is the perfect time to hear this horrific story. This will be the first memory that all these 4-year-old kids have. Probably we were there and that's why we're like this. Like we were at a similar, like we had an Alexis type person at like a birthday party we went to when we were 4 years old, who gave a speech about almost bleeding out and being pumped full of morphine and seeing her twins being delivered, but being so out of it and feeling nothing. And that's why we're addicted to Bravo. That was our first memory, but it's like, we don't remember it as well now. That's my theory.
I wish that I could get Alexis to deliver that same monologue at Ruby's 4th birthday in December.
This is my call.
Like anybody
wedding, so I bet she could do it at my wedding.
I would love her to just deliver that message at Ruby's birthday. Alexis, if you could please do that. I don't know if anybody here could get in touch with Alexis Bellino, soon to be Alexis Jansen.
Get Lexi B on the horn.
Yeah, we
Lexi
want
J.
Lexi B, J, whatever she's going with, Jesus Drugs, whatever she's going by these days. I would love to hear that speech live.
Pay good money. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a puppy pisses all over her floor. And
my dog will pee on the floor if need be.
I'll pee on the floor out of excitement if I was able to see that life. Okay, so Vicky goes to Brianna's house to talk about Brooks. This is such a good fucking fight, dude. So Vicky is super defensive. Mm-hmm. Brianna is concerned about like Brooks driving Vicky's car, spending Vicky's money, but Vicky is trying to flip it and be like, mm-hmm. "Well, don't you see that in a way it's kind of the same that you got married to a guy I don't know that well, I'm dating mm-hmm. a guy that you don't know that well, we both don't approve, but then let's just both let it go and be friends." And Brianna's like, "No, it's not the same." And then Vicky really overreaches and she's mm-hmm. like, "Well, what about what I heard about Ryan on the internet? That there was mm-hmm. overlap and he wasn't fully divorced yet before you got together." And then that really sets Brianna off. And she's like, "You want to talk about the internet?" She's like, first of all, that was just the internet saying that. Like, I'd known, you know, this guy for 3 years. He was fully divorced before we got together. Like, and if we're talking about things the internet said, then what about Brooks having 4 kids with 3 different women? What about Brooks, like...
He doesn't live here. His kids are in Mississippi.
House, no job, no car, no nothing.
Well, then she's like, "You don't want me to really talk about what I know about Brooks." And so she is very much hinting at what we know now. What we find out is Vicky and Brooks were having an emotional
affair. She says it. She's like, and then Vicky is like, "Oh, how dare you? It was just emails. Nothing physical happened." And then Brianna's like, "Well, I think emotional cheating is worse," which I definitely do. Like, I kind of like, if Cam got someone else, I wouldn't care. But if Cam emotioned someone else, I'd be upset.
Emotioned.
Yes.
"You've stolen my dreams.
How dare you?
You've stolen my dreams of Brooks."
And then Vicky is giving Greta, and she's like, mm-hmm. like, "All I care about, I can't be happy if I don't have my son and my daughter. And she, and
my
then,
Riddler. I want my son, my I daughter, and my Riddler."
Brianna's like, "You're choosing your Riddler over us."
Yeah.
And then they don't speak for a while because Brianna's like, "Okay, you're making the choice that you want separate lives with your son, mm-hmm. your daughter, and Brooks." Yeah. But I will say, in Vicky's defense, rewatching this, what we come to learn about Ryan a little bit in the next season, and then what we come to learn, you know, today after Brianna has left the show.
Yeah.
I do think that, like, it was a little bit of a red flag that he like whisked her off and didn't want Vicky to be any part of it. And she is kind of controlled by him too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do think Vicky, like, she was kind of right to have concerns. Obviously, right. Brianna was extremely right and in the right here. But like, Vicky, she wasn't wrong. And then she also is a little bit not wrong when she makes Brooks like bring her coffee the next day to prove he's like a good boyfriend with money. And she's like, it's not just that, you know, Brianna's upset about this. She's also like, you know, I think finally dealing with her father's abandonment for the first time because she'd always wanted him back. And then when Vicky and Don got divorced, Brianna kind of realized, oh, Don really was my dad and he was there for me. And now I feel abandoned by him too, even though he's still in my life because we're not together anymore, you know?
Yeah, so it's hard.
It's a lot of stuff going on. But maybe she shouldn't have gotten married with all that going on.
Yeah, but also I do think it probably, like, I mean, all the stuff with Brooks is probably also very triggering for Brianna because it's like, this is a guy who seems like he was abandoning his children and not paying child support. And it's like, why do you keep going after this same type of person?
Yeah, it's sad, Brianna also says,
you know,
that.
Because also, like,
you're,
you
know, so scared of being alone. Vicky, you're so scared of it. And Vicky's like, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to. I don't want to be alone.
I know. I don't want to get old. You know, and also, like, I like Don. We both like Don. But he mm-hmm. also never, I mean, Vicky would bring it up. Like, he did actually never adopt the kids. And, like, they talked about it, and then he never did. He never adopted Brianna and Michael like he said he was going to. And
yeah, I mean, that's something that's so, we tried to figure it out rewatching. But it's, like, it is really hard to speak on parenting unless it's, like, you know, Lynn Curtin level abysmal. You know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, like, your kids are home while you're getting evicted.
Yes, for the third time, like, this year.
Yeah.
And it's May. Yeah. But yeah, hard to say. It's a complicated situation. But what's becoming clear is that Vicky kind of thinks
the heart wants what her vagina wants, and that's the Riddler and his Dickler. And she wants his Dickler.
So then the girlies go on a cast trip to Costa Rica. When they get there and are driving through the jungle, Vicky's either drunk or manic, like having.
Okay,
manic
Lauren, episode. We need to talk about like how they get there. Okay, so they have to. This is Vicky's trip. It always has to be one of the girls' trips. They have to all fly from Orange County to Miami. Because that's where Vicky is for like some insurance conference or something. They have to pick her up in Miami and then they have to fly to Costa Rica.
God, I'm sure she was such a pain in the ass production.
Like, no, I'm so annoyed that we didn't get any of this. Like no one recorded any of these like insane flights on their phone. I was kind of annoyed by that. They have a 3-hour car ride from like the airport in Costa Rica to wherever they're staying in the middle of some jungle. And then it's like the middle of the night and Vicky's like, too bad there's not an airport by you. And the lady at like the receptionist at the hotel is like, oh, there's one like 20 minutes away. And they were like, what?
Did they let Vicky plan it? Like,
I guess so.
Crazy.
Yeah. And they said that they were like, why did we fly this way? Because I'm pretty sure Costa Rica is like the other side. Like it's like west. I don't know where it is, but it's not near Miami. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah. Well, hey, Vicky is a star. She's a diva. And she wanted everyone to know that my job that I don't get paid as much at comes first.
Yeah. And you have to come pick me up. The entire cast has to pick me up in Miami.
I love it. A grand.
And yes, she is losing her fucking mind on this trip.
Yes.
She's in a manic episode.
So she's like giggling. She almost used to never say like any kind of sex words, but like she's wanting to play a game called Alphabet Game where she's like, I went on a picnic and I brought an asshole. Like everyone's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know, that's what you play. Sex. I brought some boobs. I brought some clit. And everyone's like, what? Where is this coming from? Like, what are we talking about? She's like, oh, you guys are no fun. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. Because that's also the thing. It's like the middle of the night. They've been traveling for like 15 hours. And then like the hotel people are like, we've like set up like cocktails for you outside by the pool. They haven't slept, I don't think. Yeah. It's like everything's all crazy. And then, you know, they start like drinking cocktails in the middle of the night in the jungle. Also, Vicky just like gets up and leaves to go talk to Brooks for like an hour.
Yeah. Which back then, oh my God, the prices on that
the
call.
The price. Oh my God. And you know, she was having to pay for it. Brooks is not paying.
Of course. Yeah. She had a phone card and she probably spent like $80 on that
phone card. To hear his riddles for an hour.
Worth every penny. So then the next day they wake up and go zip lining. Vicky is still like acting really weird. We found out she was the most popular girl in high school in Illinois, and she almost married Bob Tomato and became Vicky Tomato. But then she chose her first husband, Michael, because he had a cool car and a good butt. Something is going on with her. This is not how she usually acts. Like, this is
weird. It's like, I don't know if she just started taking like Zoloft.
Yeah, it could be like some kind of
pill
stabilizer, or she's having some kind of like slight break from reality.
She's having a break from reality.
Yeah, not like Scary Island level, but
Costa Rica
level.
Monkeys
or Love Scary Island, as Tamara calls it later. So the ladies go ziplining. They're all scared, but Alexis is like, oh my gosh, you guys, don't worry about it. It's so not scary. Like, I've done this a million times. Then the second they get in their harnesses, Alexis is freaking out. She's making the attendant braid her hair so it isn't caught in the zip line. And it's like really freaking out. And everyone's like, oh my God, so performative. Like, she was just saying she's fine, which, I mean, why would she pretend to be scared, though? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Like, I'm so scared. Braid my hair.
And then the fact that he knows how to, and everyone's like, Jim's going to be jealous. I'm like, that is emotional cheating to me. That's so intimate. Letting someone braid your hair.
Braid your hair. Your sister's braided my hair.
Well, that's different. They're not like handsome Lotharios from Costa Rica.
Yeah, who are supposed to just be putting me in a harness. Yes. That seems very intimate, actually. That seems more intimate than braiding my hair.
No, braiding hair.
Like he's strapping her.
That's true. But haven't you ever seen Out of Africa where Robert Redford washes Meryl Streep's hair in the bath? And it was like.
That's washing someone's hair is like intimate. Like braiding, I don't know.
I think a man, a straight man braiding.
I don't think I've ever had a man braid my hair. And exactly. I would be like, why are you braiding my hair?
That's third base or fourth base if it's a French braid. Because that's four.
Oh, wow. Is that Vicky rules?
No, Vicky rules. Alexis rules. I'm going on a picnic and I'm bringing a French braid. Okay. The ladies, they all go to dinner. And that's when they decide to really gang up on Alexis.
Yeah.
It is kind of wild. Everyone is just like yelling at her like, you're fake. You need to be more real. This is your fault for being fake. Yeah.
And Heather's like, I think that you're secretly poor. Basically, what she's trying to tell.
She's like, if you have money, then
if you have
don't
money,
talk
you don't
about
talk
it.
About it. Yeah.
And then Alexis is like, well, I can't help it that like we have money and we don't want to just save it. We want to spend it. Like my husband is really good at cars. So he was like, let's buy three cars and then we'll sell them for more money. And like everyone's like, that's not a depreciating asset. Like,
that's not actually how cars work at all. Like, quick accounting lesson, everybody. Cars depreciate as soon as you drive them off a lot. They are not a good investment, like in terms of resale.
Yeah,
actually, if you want to invest in something, the best thing to invest in is actually land. Mm-hmm. Land never depreciates.
Well, any hedge funds out there listening, guys, take a tip from Michelle. Yeah, no, but see, the thing with Alexis is like, I don't think she's being fake. I think she thinks they are I think she thinks that Jim will be able to sell these cars for more money.
And like she can't explain why they are renting a home instead of buying a home.
That one's tough. And Vicky like stands up for her in her Vicky way where she's like, well, I don't think it's that she's like poor. I think
she's like dumb.
She's dumb. Yeah. It's like, I work in wealth management and she doesn't do that. She doesn't understand money.
She doesn't understand. But she's really, just like stupid.
Vicky is right. Like Vicky's point. She's like, guys, don't be mad at her. She kind of doesn't understand.
She doesn't
what's happening
know.
With the
it's
finances.
Like, yeah, she doesn't
everything's
know what's
according
happening
to
with
Jim
the finances.
At her house. You know, yeah, it's like,
she doesn't know.
Yeah.
She has no idea.
And then worst of all, even Gretchen, who has kind of been fucking over Alexis all season, really fucks her over and doesn't take her side and is like, well, actually, I think they're kind of right. And you just have a way of saying things that sound fake. And I'm only telling you this because it's hurting you in the community. And Alexis, I know, it's like, what? So what community?
The way that they bring up community in this show is so bizarre.
I think it's their way of saying, that's why none of your co-stars like you.
Yeah.
But,
well, they bring it up in the current season. Alexis does that. Shannon has like embarrassed Jim and John in front of his community.
And again, it's like it's bullshit then, too, because it's like nobody gives a shit about.
Yeah. Like, what is the community? The Republican National Convention? Like, what are you girls talking about?
It's like he didn't even get a write up in the Orange County Register. Like, nobody was saying shit about John Jansen other than now when we say he's a piece of shit. Like,
I'm going to subscribe to that.
A lot of it's archived and available online. So Alexis leaves, runs off crying
early
back to her hotel room. And also Heather's really pissed off because Alexis was like, Gretchen, you're only saying this because Terry said that I was fake and you're trying to suck up to the Rose, which is also true. And so then Heather's like really pissed and like Gretchen's like, I'm going to go after her. And Heather's like, okay, but it's like not your fault. And then Alexis obviously doesn't let Gretchen in because she's like, you just totally threw me to the wolves out there. And then Gretchen comes back and is like weeping. Mm-hmm. Like, she won't let me in. I know it's just to hurt me. And Heather's like, hey, she did it to herself. Like she has to know this behavior is hurting her. Like,
she's poor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make her feel bad for that. But also the fact that I'm going to really lay into her for like leaving early. And I'm going to bring my kids into it and be like, I left my children and you're leaving the girls trip early. It's like, Heather.
Okay, calm down. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, it's definitely a different Heather than, well, she came in like fresh. She had a very smart, strategic way. It's like, okay, take down the weak one, you know, start a rival with the weakest one first. But Heather Dubrow, this, you know, she's not even wasting her time with Katie. She could pick her teeth with her. She's like,
yeah,
Give me Gina. This Gina's the one I want.
Yeah, like season seven, Heather is Heather Newbro.
Newbro, yeah.
And now she's we're still, Heather
exactly.
She's still figuring it out.
Well, actually, right now she's Heather Page Kent, but at the end of the season, she'll be Heather Dubrow.
She'll be Dubrow.
So then Gretchen just makes me so mad where she's just at the table crying, making it all about herself and like being like making everyone have to calm her down. She's like, I'm so upset. I feel so bad. She's making me the bad guy. And so Vicky just like leaves.
We just want to go to breakfast and see these monkeys.
Yeah. Like calm down. I don't know how Tamara pretended to put up with Gretchen for so long this season.
You know what I don't understand? It's like how none of Gretchen's makeup came off in the jungle.
She's a full-on drag queen, is really what I've discovered.
So much makeup.
She wears so much makeup. The hair
is always
huge.
And her hair never moves.
It's always perfect.
It's like the perfect wisp.
Yeah. Maybe it's a wig. I mean, it's giving JonBenet hair, I gotta say.
My wig.
It's pageant. It's, JonBenet. Drag.
It's giving JonBenet. Yeah. Was there a pineapple? Say that out.
Okay. Anyway, so Vicky goes to Alexis's room, and Alexis does let Vicky comfort her, partially because Vicky was like kind of the one defending her by saying she's just stupid, not shitty.
And, can you imagine that being like someone like coming to your defense? Like if I was like, look,
Lauren, like she can't help
Lauren,
it.
Like she can't help it. Like she's actually just really stupid. Knock it off.
Honestly, that is like my defense on some like, you know, common
but
like
you're not stupid and you're not stupid.
Like, or like fine motor tasks or executive functioning type tasks.
Oh yeah, it's you're like, stupid.
I'm stupid at those. But it's not that I'm faking, I'm stupid at them.
Yeah.
So
you're like stupid at purses.
Yes, I'm so stupid at purses. And I get why, like, Alexis is genuinely finding a friend in Vicky, but also she is doing it a little bit to piss off Gretchen.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, Gretchen is still all pissy about that, and Alexis is like, I'm just going to go home. Unlike these women, I have toddlers and a husband who needs me, which is like a lot of them have toddlers, whatever.
Yeah, all of them have toddlers who actually probably do need them. That is what being a toddler is. It's like you need
parent.
Like parents.
Yes, yeah. My toddlers like, actually need me.
Yeah, like they can't function at all.
Right, yeah. Like
they do need you, yes.
They do,
right.
And Jim is the fourth toddler that she has, and he needs her as well to make his
crawfish.
He's like,
oh, God. Why can't they be like Bentleys?
They do. They have three Bentleys, one for each toddler.
Mm-hmm.
So then the girls go into the jungle to plant some trees together to represent each of them. And then this sends Vicky into
a madness
cataclysm. She starts bawling. She's like, doesn't this make you guys think about how we're all going to die someday? And everyone's like,
no.
It reminds me so much of when Carmella and Rosie April are in Rome on The Sopranos, and Carmella is just like bawling uncontrollably, and then like Rosie April is like, it's just a painting. That's like Heather being like, we're just creating photosynthesis, Vicky.
Yeah, she's like, the woman in that painting. She's like, okay, and then she's like, I think I might be pregnant. This is not what Vicky says. This is Carmella.
Yeah, but you can tell Vicky's thinking it. But Vicky is, she's thinking, what if I'm pregnant? She's like, don't you see? These trees are going to be here in 120 years. After we all die, we'll all be part of the earth.
We won't.
And like,
I think it's one of the great scenes in all of television.
It's so good. And at first, that seemed out of
so
character
good.
For Vicky.
It's a masterpiece.
But pretty much ever, like, she's never been the same since Brooks. Ever since Brooks left, she talks about death.
Like, it's so scary. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, even on this, like, season of Girls Trip when they're in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
With Tamara.
I just want everyone to know that if I die, like, tell them, if she dies,
I'm
she dies
not
sad.
Happy.
If she dies, she dies sad.
This woman died sad. And, like, she's literally laying in bed, like, on the pull-out couch. This is the pull-out couch that Dorinda put her in to share with Tamara. And, like, it's, like, all of the, like, women around her. And she's like, this woman died sad.
So
drunk
like
Dorinda's like, you're so shitty. You're ruining the trip.
Classic, classic, Vicky. So we get back to the OC. Oh, wait, no, not yet. So afterwards, they go river rafting.
My God, all these adventures.
That is like a crazy thing, like out of Deliverance. It does not feel safe.
I can't believe they got like the insurance on this. Like, I can't believe like NBC insured this, because it's like they're ziplining. They're like river rafting. These are extreme sports. Yeah. Why are we having 50-year-old women do this in different country?
It's wild. And then, like, afterwards, Vicky is again sobbing uncontrollably, where
about
she was like,
death.
This is nothing like skydiving. It's so much scarier. And everyone's like, you went skydiving? She's like, yeah, I've gone skydiving, but this is worse. I'm forever changed. Forever changed.
And she is. We are too.
So then afterwards, to cool down, Gretchen and Tamara and Vicky all get a beer. And Gretchen and Tamara have planned to coordinate and wear matching pink jackets, which sends Vicky further into her downward spiral, where she can't stop crying and is like, maybe I made a mistake with Don. He loved me. He even loved my cooking. And everyone's like, you need to calm down, okay? Like, you guys are divorced. And she's like, well, I always said if he ever, you know, wanted to come back to me, then I'd be back with him. And they're like, does he want to come back with you? And she's like, mm-mm. I mean, I don't know what. No.
We don't talk.
But also, she was
like, although he is still living with me.
Yeah. So weird. And then she's like, well, at least I'm with Brooks, who, you know, he hangs out with me all the time. I'm never alone with him. He'll, even if I got a nail appointment, he'll go with me. And it's like, that's not good. It's like,
yeah, does he have a job?
No. And it's just because, like, he wants to know what she's doing at all times so he can continue to, like, you know, have mind control over her with his riddles. And he mind controls her all the way back to OC, where she takes him to the dentist.
Oh, my God.
This is dark, dark stuff. He has, as the dentist and Vicky say, Arkansas mouth. Or Mississippi mouth.
Mississippi mouth.
He has Mississippi mouth. Mississippi mouth. He needs veneers. He needs OC mouth.
Well, he was missing a tooth.
Missing a tooth, yeah. And veneers at that time were like, I mean, they're like, you know,
they're not still great. I still think veneers look insane on people.
Really? What about these veneers?
Yep. I didn't know you had veneers.
I fell on my face and knocked my teeth out.
Oh, yeah.
But they're fucking expensive. Like,
they
porcelain
are so,
veneers.
They're like buying like a house.
Yeah. Especially where she's going in the OC, this like fancy cosmetic dentist. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big investment in Brooks'
I do
mouth.
Like how like Vicky and the dentist are laughing so
laughing
much
at
Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah, this
like,
is like
you're so butt ugly.
This is like this is kind of like the time their relationship is at their healthiest, I think, because she still has kind of power over him. Where she's like, well, I've got the money, I've got the show, and then slowly as time goes on, he will, you know,
he's leeching
try
into
to take all that away from her.
Yeah,
he gets those new teeth, and he's too big for his britches. He chomps away at her heart. Yep,
he chomps. He's like Pac-Man.
And she's like the sad ghost.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I can't get away.
Yeah. So now that Tamara has had Simon's name cut off of her finger and sewn
up,
which looks
grisly. Which, by the way, I didn't know that's how you do that. I didn't know this was a procedure. I knew, like, to get a tattoo removed, they laser it off, right?
Well, I think she'd gotten 8 laser sessions and it still wasn't coming off because of, like,
and then Terry's like, come to my office, I'll perform surgery on you. And she's
and
like, okay,
cut it off.
He's like, make sure the cameras are there.
That's payment enough for me, honey.
This is actually, people don't know this, but that was his audition for Botched.
It kind of was, like, we joke, but
And he cut off her ring finger.
And then, it's like she has these, like, Frankenstein stitches. And Eddie's like, oh, I'm so turned on right now. And she's like, well, now you got to put a ring on it. And he does. And he takes her to Tahiti, to Bora Bora. And she is like, it's like 12 hours into the trip and they're scuba diving. And she's so pissed off that he hasn't proposed yet. It reminds me so much of your proposal story too, Michelle. Yeah. Where it's like, it's so clear he's about to propose. It's just taken him like 8 hours into filming. And she's like, whatever. What? I got to open this clam? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because like she's supposed to still be wearing a Band-Aid on her finger.
Yeah.
She had her skin removed.
Have her stitches in the open ocean, like prone to infection this whole time.
Yeah,
she's
so
like,
I would be mad too. She's putting this shit in the salt water.
Yeah, she's literally rubbing salt in her wound, waiting for the ring. Yeah. But still, he does it really cute. He like has these clams and he makes her, you know, open one and then he opens another and the ring's in it. And she's
just
sobs.
Give it to me. Yeah. It's like, this is stupid.
I know. Did you sob when you were proposed to? Me neither. Something
I was like,
this?
No, I was like mad. I told you I was drunk and I was mad.
Yeah. You're like, about
I wasn't mad that he promoted. I thought he was going to propose earlier in the night and he didn't. And because I patted him down and I didn't feel the ring.
You're so Tamara.
So I got mad and I got drunk and we went to a nice restaurant and I was like, I'm getting a cheeseburger. I was like, you don't want to hear the fish specials? I was like, no, I want a burger.
You
and I did.
Up.
I got like a $30 burger.
Oh, that sounds good. Was it Capital Grill?
No, it was NHS.
Mm.
That's in Highland Park.
NHS, the National Health
Neighborhood
System.
Services.
Yeah. Neighborhood. That's
no, not National Honor Society. I had dinner with all those smart children.
I was thinking because I've got like Munchausen's brain. National Health Services from England.
Oh, yeah, no, that's only in England. Yeah. Oh my god, I wish. Oh my god,
that's where I want to get married.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I think about like if I was really rich, I'd go to like Cedars Sinai.
Mm. Ooh yeah,
Cedars. Get the good stuff. I'd go to Cedars. Anyway. Tamara gets proposed to with a clamshell.
Yes. And then
he puts a ring on her scab.
Yes. So romantic. She tells Heather and Gretchen about this, but she doesn't tell Vicky. She can't
Where's
get a hold
Vicky?
Of her. We don't know.
We don't know.
Just goes to show, as Tamara says, where their friendship is right now.
Oh, boy.
So Heather leaves her maiden name / stage name Heather Page Kent behind and takes Terry's name and she throws a name change finale party.
Oh my god.
Which is some of her usual hostess shenanigans. Yeah, we see her with her like that's the only thing is like her caterer is not like flamboyant enough to give us like a Ugh. Kevin Lee moment or like, you know, fat phobic or anything. Like
yeah,
you needed to give her
that's
some
not
more
flamboyant, but her staircase, like the double staircase that everyone has to see when they walk into her home and she's like, this old thing.
Yes. And she's got like guards, like not even security. Cards,
this whole thing, we're having to build a new home.
Yeah. And she's so pissed off. She has this like insane, giant, like rectangular cake. And she's like, where's the black sparkly tear? This thing is so dinky. And it's like,
what
is this?
Like
$2,000.
Yeah. Is this really a grocery store?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she does. Okay. So for the listener, she orders a cake that is basically a wedding cake from. It looks like, you know, it's like a Super Sweet 16, that show.
Yes, it's very Super Sweet 16 coded. Like, and it's even very, like, 2000s, like, checker marks, like, white and black checker marks.
Yeah, like, pink. Like pink and bows and fondant. It's very Ace of Cakes.
Very Ace of Cakes. Yeah, very cake boss. So, Vicky comes to the party with Brooks.
But what is she wearing?
She's wearing a fur coat, like a kind of like a stole mixed with a coat, like a little bolero.
In Southern California?
See, I don't like that Andy was shitty to her about this because it is cold as shit in Southern California.
But I'm
at
just saying, but where'd she get it?
From
Brooks,
where'd
she get the coat? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And she makes
Brooks,
a very big deal.
Wink. Yeah, that's from like Brooks. It's from Brooks.
Yeah, like at the party. She's like, look at my fur coat. But Brooks bought it. It was a gift from Brooks. He bought it for me with his money.
His money. Yeah. And it's like, oh,
with
honey.
With his Mississippi mud money.
Yeah. Unless it's from Forever 21. Like, he did not buy that. You're not fooling anyone.
Mm-mm.
The harder she doubles down, the worse it gets. And that's going to be an ongoing theme. Mm. Tamara and Brianna, they are, like, kind of form an alliance. We hate Brooks alliance.
They're both at the
Ryan.
Party. Brianna's at the party at the name change party. Reveal. Name
because
change
really
reveal.
It's really the finale party for
finale
all of
party.
Our friends we met along the way. Alexis comes with Sarah Winchester, our old friend Sarah Winchester. Heather
old drunk
and
Sarah.
Well, drunk Sarah, Heather and Alexis and Terry know that Jim wants to confront Terry about calling Alexis phony.
Mm.
Like he, you know, they're still pissed about that. But like, everyone's like, let's not address it at the party. Sarah's like, I'll address it. And Alexis is like, don't address it. It should be man to man. According to Jim, that's the way it goes.
Man to man. Mm-hmm.
Except Sarah Winchester, once she gets to the party, immediately gets hammered. And
she's
Alexis
in a blackout.
She's blacked out. Alexis is having to, this is like, the sun hasn't set yet. Like,
no.
She's having to like pull her out of the party so she doesn't confront them. And like, she's like, okay, we need to switch to water, honey. Like, this is not good.
Yeah. And no, she's like going to the bathroom. She's like, what's the problem? Yeah. What did I say?
What did I say?
So just then, like a Winchester.
Just like a Winchester, she goes, no. Okay, so Kara and Gina show up, and I love what Gina says. What, we're allowed to be here. The guards let us through.
They let us through.
It's a castle.
Yeah, and like Kara's like, I put on a dress.
Yes. Kara also brought a poncho because she and Gina are still mad at Tamara for throwing the drink right in Gina's eye at last year's finale party. Kara wants to defend her mom's honor. So she brought props. Yes. Which I kind of love.
I loved it.
And so Tamara knows, she's like, okay, she's got a fucking poncho on. Like, I've got to go up and address this. And like, you know, she's a kid, like, you know, view herself or grow up. So she's a kid in their eyes. And so they go and sit by a fountain and Kara proceeds to rip into Tamara. And you're like, okay, I don't have to wear this, right? Like, it's really hot. You're not going to throw a drink on me, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm not. And then she's like, look, you know, you shouldn't have done that to my mom. And Tamara's like, I know, I was just so hurt because I felt like she was taking Simon's side. And Kara's like, you know what? None of us saw Simon abuse you. We weren't trying to get in the middle of it, but we didn't see that. And then Tamara doesn't even like double down. She's just like, I know, but sometimes relationships can end for like no reason. And Kara's like, and I understand that. And then Gina sits down and then like still they're being like very condescending to Tamara. And she's like, I know. And she's trying so hard to cry. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, Kara Keo, this is why everybody said, this scene is why everyone says she should be a housewife, because like she took down the reigning featherweight champ. Like she made a fool out of Tamara. That was maybe it's because Tamara also was like in such a good mood from being engaged. She was like, oh, I'm only going to, you know, work at 50%, save the rest for attacking Brooks at the end of the party. But she took her down. She took her down, baby.
She took her down. Kara, we need you.
Kara, we salute you. So then the party takes a dramatic turn.
Oh, no.
Sarah Winchester impulsively
Does not switch to water.
She switches to cake, though.
Xanax. Oh.
Xanax and fondant as she eats, breaks off a piece of the cake's bow and eats it. And
this is so great because there's so many past hors d'oeuvres and there's so much delicious catered food, like actual food.
And she just, now like knowing that she is a Winchester, it's like, she probably, that was probably half the size of her Super Sweet 16. She was like, oh, this dinky little cake.
She thought it was a cupcake.
Exactly. She's like, whatever. So news travels to Heather. Heather, your bow got eaten. So Heather, like, you know, confronts Sarah and she's like, you broke the bow off my cake and ate it. And Sarah's like, seriously?
Yeah.
It's just a bow.
Yeah, she's like, I did. What? I was hungry.
I have a sugar problem where I have to eat sugar. It's like, girl, at least like say the right lie. Like hypoglycemia is the lie you say.
Yeah, I have to eat sugar. Yeah, she's like giving like sugar water from like Men in Black.
Yeah, sugar. Oh.
The alien.
Sugar water. And then it also makes sense knowing how rich she is that she's like, you need a new bow, you need a new cake, I'll give you my credit card. That's like her trying to flex. But it's like, girl, you know you do not know where your credit card is right now. Like, you could not find it if, you know, you could not make a bullseye on that. So then Heather brings Sarah into the kitchen to get her more sugar. And she wants a real apology, not a BS apology like she just got. And then when she doesn't get one, Heather summons the troops. She's like, Gretchen, Terry, get in here. And then Heather makes Alexis escort Sarah out.
Yeah.
Slade wears a turtleneck and again sucks up to the DuBros and takes their side.
He's like, handle this. And he's like, he's then acting like the security that Heather already has at the party. And he's like, I'll escort these ladies out.
Like in a turtleneck too.
Yeah, he's like in the turtleneck, very demure.
Yes, he looks like a stage director or something.
He does.
So all right, well, I'll exit the stage right.
Come on, the glaze. Exit stage right.
But Alexis is like, come on, this is stupid. Which she's right. She's like, this is stupid.
This is stupid.
Slade was like, ladies, exit.
Let's go.
We all exit. Yeah, let's go. Curtain call. And then Alexis is like, you know, walking out with her. She's like, we have to go. Like, you're hammered. You're not the same person I walked in with. You are really drunk.
Really
Sarah
drunk.
Sarah goes, it's bullshit. Over a tiny piece of cake. Is this a world we live in? Over a piece of cake. It's so like Nancy Kerrigan. Like, why
oh
me?
My God.
Why any of us?
Except, Nancy Kerrigan had her, like, knees busted in right before the Olympics by, like, some trailer park person.
Yeah. But Sarah, to Sarah Winchester, Heather Dubrow might be a trailer
park
person.
She might be a trailer park person.
I wish we'd gotten to see a little more of that because it just would have made it even juicier. Or had as a big reveal at the end where Sarah comes out and does a 21-gun salute to, like, her. Like blowing up money, like shooting it in the air.
Yeah.
But maybe someday. So then Jim comes, according to Jim. Terry needs to sit down with him. One of his Bentleys. Jim confronts Terry for saying Alexis is a phony, just as Alexis wanted. And then Heather comes over to, like, you know, Terry's like, Heather, did I say that she was the biggest phony I've ever met? Which he didn't. He just said she's a phony. And Heather's like, no, he didn't say that. And then Tamara comes over and then Jim's like, fuck this. Like, I'm not going toe-to-toe with Tamara. I know I can't handle it. Like,
no, no.
And he just leaves.
Yeah, he leaves. He's like, we're leaving Alexis.
Yeah, no, he doesn't even tell her. He just
That's right. Yeah, she goes after him.
Shocker. It's an ambush. Like, the Wicked Witch of the West appeared. What do you think happened? Yeah. What always happened? And then Alexis runs after him. They're like, no, Alexis, stay. She's like, I'm going to follow my husband. So he's driving off. He stops the car to let her in. And I just want to take a moment here to talk about why Alexis is such a superior housewife to Gretchen. Alexis, her man is such a pussy, he won't talk to anyone on camera. She has to fight all of her battles and his battles.
Alone. Yeah, alone. And get escorted. She was just escorted out with a drunk. Like, she's got so much going on
she's
at this
so
party.
She's got so going on, and she still handles it and still, like, shows back up to, like, take the beating, whereas Gretchen only gets into any disagreements or stands up to anyone if she has, like, a little bitch like Tamara or Slade in her corner to, like, be a vicious viper for her because she can't handle it.
She can't handle the truth.
Yep. Also, Alexis is so funny, and Gretchen, not funny.
Not funny.
Also, Gretchen and Slade, they, like, wanted to get famous just from, like, you know, doing stand-up without preparing it, or, like, Gretchen singing without ever really preparing, just getting voice coaches to say, like, your voice is bad. And Alexis, she hired a coach on camera against her husband's wishes because she was like, I care about this, and I know I suck, and I want to get better. And
yeah, but, like, Gretchen was offered that same job.
But Gretchen wouldn't have tried it like Alexis. And she wasn't willing to look stupid like that again.
But guess what, sweetie? Sorry, babe. You look stupid.
Yeah, I look stupid Slade. This is the best season or second best season you had. And it's not that great. So then Vicky, back at the party, Vicky makes up with Ryan. Vicky tries to explain her fears about, like, Ryan and him taking Brianna from her. And then Ryan is, like, at first pretty defensive and a dick. Like, where he's like, well, that's your own shit. I'm not going to take your daughter from you. You're taking her from yourself.
Yeah, she's like, you can't just take her through a drive-through.
Yeah.
You took her through a drive-through. Yeah.
She's a...
She wanted to be like, we're rich.
She can drive through herself.
We're rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he kind of softens to her, and, you know, he does have a point that, like, Brianna is, he's like, hey, she's allowed to, like, not like or trust Brooks. And Vicky's like, well, I want to make it right with you. I want to make it right with her. He's like, I'll try to help you out. So they end on a good note. But one of our early red flags from Ryan. Gretchen gives Tamara another friendship bracelet. They're really doing a lot of over-the-top prop work to make Vicky explode. Tamara kisses Gretchen on the mouth because she's like, oh, I need more lipstick. And that really sets Vicky off. Vicky is jealous. She says
their friendship
is fake. It doesn't smell good. When it smells like a rat, it is a rat. And
she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. I think this is the reason people call Tamara Tamrat.
Tamrat.
I hate any of the nicknames. Unless they're like Jesus Jugs. Iconic.
Jesus
Complimentary.
Jugs. That is,
you know,
so good.
Yeah. So Vicky tries to get, she's like, Tamara, close your eyes. And she's trying to put brown makeup on her nose because she's actually like a brown noser. They're like such kindergartners together. Like, I really think that that's their bond.
Oh, what a duo.
Yeah. But Tamara is not willing to do shenanigans with Vicky anymore. She's pissed. Vicky toasts to Alexis to make Tamara jealous. And then Tamara rolls her eyes. And then Brooks notices and says, do you want to go there? Tamara's like, what do you mean, do I want to go there?
What are you talking about?
He says, you gave her the evil eye. The Kill Bill siren. You can see that. You can see, like, not only the flicker happen in Tamara's, like, head where she's like, you know, obviously it's a trigger for her, but also she's like, he knows it's a trigger because this motherfucker has watched all of the show. This motherfucker, like, he studied us. I'm totally confirmed. He is a con man and he sucks. So she goes
he was
nuts.
Waiting for me to roll my eyes.
Yes,
and
he was
wouldn't
waiting.
Stop calling it the evil eye.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of on her side on that. And that, yeah. And even Gretchen is like, that's Tamara's trigger. You know, that's the Kill Bill theme. But Gretchen also says this fight between them has been brewing. Mm-hmm. Vicky says, like, No, we're best friends. And then Tamara points at Vicky.
Mm-mm.
Brooks keeps pushing her finger away. It's like getting physical. Mm-hmm. And she's like, relax, Vicky. Stop telling him tell you what to think. And she's
what
like, he doesn't tell me what to think. Tell me what to think. I don't know who this person is. And she's like shoveling shit down her throat. And then Vicky gives her last monologue of the season. It's very good.
The best.
It's disgusting how you talk to him and me in front of people. You are supposed to be my friend, no matter what. You don't talk to me or him ever. You're supposed to be my friend, my soulmate, my sister. That means you never speak that way to the man I love. I would never speak to Eddie that way. I would never speak that way to Eddie. Everyone's scared of me. Well, I'm not scared of you. And then to her confessional, Tamara can have her fun with Gretchen. She just lost me.
I wanted to be a caterer at this party so damn bad. Like, watching the girl leave for eating cake, being escorted out by Turtleneck Man that everyone hates.
It's so good.
And then it's like, my soulmate, my sister. Can you imagine me yelling that at you wearing a fur coat that I bought myself?
And like, it's the end of a 3-minute monologue where you have not stopped talking and I've not interrupted you.
My soulmate, my sister. I'm sorry. So that is good. One of the great monologues.
It's so good, and it's not over yet.
Yeah, it's Norma Ray could never.
She could never, yeah. We like you, Vicky. We really like you. So yeah. Vicky and Brooks, they walk out front. Brianna and Tamara, they agree Brooks sucks. She's like, you know, she's 100% blinded by him.
Yeah.
And Brianna tells Tamara that Vicky said, if you don't want to be my daughter, then fine. Which, mm-hmm. Yikes. Heather talks Vicky and Brooks into coming back to the party because it's her special name chase party, guys, and really it's about her.
Yeah, she needs to cut this damn cake.
Brianna talks to Vicky and then she stands up for Tamara. And Vicky's like, Brianna, you weren't there. Like, Tamara was instigating. And then Brianna's like, she was standing up for you. So actually, like, Tamara was totally lying when she said that. And Vicky is right. But Brianna's so pissed. She's like, whatever. She's become estranged from both of them at this party. It was just too volatile. Yeah. And then Heather gives a bunch of champagne with diamonds in it. And one is a real diamond. So you have to, like, drink your champagne and then, like, spit your diamond out, or like pull it out, and then, like, you know, like, and then like wipe it off, and then like have her jeweler weigh it and find which one is the heavy one. Anyway, Tamara gets it. Yay! And then we get the ending music and captions, and we find out that Brianna is 6 months pregnant, and that might be why she got married.
Because she was drinking.
Oh, okay. Well, they got busy right away.
They did.
Yeah. No, she wasn't drinking that night.
She was drinking
with the wine.
Well, no, and she was drinking when she told her mom that she was pregnant. Yeah. That she got married, and at the wine by wives night, she was definitely drunk because she was very rude to Brooks. And
And then she's drinking when she was having that talk with Vicky. Afterwards.
She could have been pregnant, but I don't think that's why she got.
But yeah, I think you're right. So the reunion is just, you know, more of a like Vicky trying
Tamara
to defend
yelling
Brooks.
At Vicky.
Yeah, and then more of Alexis being ganged up on. And Alexis even says, I don't even know if I'm going to come back to this group of friends. But spoiler alert, she does. We get one more season of those Jesus jugs. And that's the season.
Well, we did. Okay, this reunion, there was a really iconic moment where Tamara says, because I don't think he's good for you.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the foreshadowing prelude to the all-time iconic line from season 9 reunion. That's my opinion!
That's like the greatest reunion line ever, honest. I'm trying to think of another reunion line that gives me the chills like that.
Yeah, it's really good. So, yeah. So the two major themes I would say of this season would be got to be real. It is all about authenticity.
Got to be real.
Got to be real. And then loyalty, I think, is another major theme. Are you loyal to me? Are you loyal to Brooks? Are you loyal to, you know?
Are you Alexis? My sister? Are you my soulmate?
Soulmate, exactly. I think that's the theme. Are you my sister? Are you my soulmate? Or I have a quote from Confucius that also sums it up. Hold faithfulness and sincerity as first principles. So true.
Mm-hmm.
For required viewing is if you only have time to watch one episode from this season, this is the one we recommend. For me, it would be In-N-Out, the season finale, OC, season 7, episode 20. That's the finale party that we just quoted to you in great detail.
Oh my gosh, that was going to be mine too.
I have a different one then. So my other one would be Monkey Business.
Oh my God, that was going to be my second one.
We're so the same. See, that's what shows you that these are really the best two.
And that we're soulmates and sisters.
We are soulmates and sisters. We have faithfulness and sincerity to each other. It's season 7, episode 17. It's the one where they're in Costa Rica and Vicky can't stop crying like Carmela.
Oh my God, yeah, Carmela Soprano. The woman in that painting.
Yes, so
that
good.
Monkey in that tree.
Oh yeah, I forgot to. Also, she breaks Alexis's tree because she's crying so hard. It's just like, Alexis died.
Alexis, like, no, I didn't.
What?
Did I? Can somebody braid my hair?
God love her. All right. God
does love her
the most. God's chosen girly. What grade would you give the season, Michelle?
Oh my God, it's an A+.
A+, baby.
It's so good.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Just so good. Even with Gretchen and Slade, doesn't matter. I mean, we get so many Vicky breakdowns.
It's
we
good.
Get Brooks, the Riddler. Brooks,
the Riddler, the triumphant introduction of one of Batman's and our great villains.
It's so good. It's just so good.
It's
just classic Tamara, Vicky. I love it.
Tamara's best season, I think. Like, Tamara just dominates. I hope she's still got it. But
I know, we'll see. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Did her face turn from blue back to normal?
God, I hope so. I think that
is not blue anymore.
I think that is what happens with the surgery. Like, that's normal results for it to look like that at first. But it's like, why she decided to go on live. I mean, it's good she's being honest about what she goes through to look.
I didn't know that
does.
You could. I didn't know you could turn your face blue from plastic surgery.
Yeah, it's probably like the blood vessels or something.
Oh, God, it sounds so scary.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared.
Let's do
for my first facelift, if I can afford it. I am going
to
get one.
I need to get Botox really bad. Yeah,
ooh,
it's bad.
You actually don't need to, but if you want to go together.
But I'm going to.
You don't have any lines, though.
No, but I wanted to get, I do have lines, but I want to get the Botox, like, for your eyebrows. I want to look like this.
Why? Like Britney? Cut that. Podcasts are a
rotten hail, Lord.
Rotten hail. So we've come to the end of the podcast, which means it's time for our final segment, oral exam. This is a 1 minute
so
essay
ready.
On anything in your choice from pop culture. Michelle, this is your oral exam. Your time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that I have an apology. Okay. I was so wrong about you, RFK Jr. You, in fact, are the king. And I am so sorry. I was like, this guy's a piece of shit. He used to drop acid and hang out with cow corpses. He was a heroin addict. You should have never judged somebody for, like, their addiction. It's a disease. Mm-hmm. He cheated on his many wives multiple times. A lot of people say that's why his second wife isn't around anymore. And like, now this... Yes, but now it has come to light that he's had an emotional affair with a former New York Magazine, the New Yorker.
New York
some prestigious New York magazine. She was their White House correspondent. She
5 seconds
is no. Anyway, he's been sending her nudie pics, and she's 30 and he's 70, and that is some king shit. Because I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, and that today it was leaked. He had over 43 mistresses in his phone book.
And he called his wife Guma, which means mistress. Soprano.
Yep, he's only worth $15 million. Why is Cheryl with him?
I don't know. Because of the Kennedy name. He's got that good sexting skill.
Yeah, especially for an elderly gentleman.
How did he get like a really hot 30-year-old to like send him pictures? Like she sent him nudes. And she had to tell her editor about it. Anyway, what I'm saying is New York Post snatched this girly up.
Yeah, get while the getting's good.
Yeah.
And
fuck the New Yorker.
Any like elderly, mentally unwell politicians out there. She's single. Well, actually, she's not single. She's
married. Unvaccinated.
She's married and unvaccinated, fellas. Okay. This is Lauren Davis's oral exam. I have like so much to say on this. It's going to be hard to keep it to a minute, but I'll get to the beginning of it. My time starts now. In this essay, I will prove so much of what reality TV competition fans are angry about and complain about online is that it's unfair. I am here to tell you, just let it go. How about watch it like a show? Don't care about it being unfair. I mean, there's parts of unfairness that really upset me. I don't want to see someone like have not as good of a chance in this game or be prejudiced against because of their race or sex or sexual orientation. But in terms of like setting up a narrative that like, or like, you know, giving someone a villain edit or, you know, making like the dumb contest where it's like, how many times, like on the challenge recently, was like, get all the nails out of a board. You know, it's like, honey, this is not the Olympics. Okay. Like we're trying to make TV here. Like my favorite season I just rewatched of the challenge. And at the end, there's a team that's been like really awful the whole time. And they've kept an alliance safe of like people who do not pull their weight at all and aren't any good. And so then the producers unfairly give them way more weight in the finale. So they all collapse under the weight. It's such a good metaphor. Was it fair? No. Was it great TV? Mm-hmm. Yes. Just enjoy the ride, guys.
Enjoy the ride.
Just enjoy
don't need
the
a reason
ride.
Why.
Don't need a reason why.
Isn't that the Pepsi song? That is. It's a Britney Pepsi song.
Yes.
That's not even one of her songs. It's like a Pepsi commercial.
Next. Britney.
Wow, Pepsi really used to be that bitch.
Yeah.
We salute you.
We salute you. And we salute anyone who's following us on Instagram and TikTok at Bravo_breakdowns. And please like and subscribe to our YouTube, people. We're getting the views, but we're not getting the subscribers. Bravo Breakdowns, youtube.com/Bravo Breakdowns. Just like and throw us a bone here.
It's not that hard, guys. It's a button.
If you don't like us in our feed, ignore us.
Ignore it. Mute us. Follow us and mute us.
Yeah. I don't know if you can do that on YouTube, but... figure it out. We'll send you a tutorial.
We'll call YouTube to make sure you can do that.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Yay.
Yay.